Well, we are excited. I'm just going to pull up my notes here because I will forget things. We're excited to be able to come here tonight and share our burden for Waterloo and the surrounding areas. I've been given 5 minutes from my husband, so I'm going to talk fast. Maybe he'll give me some grace. But I'm going to try to make it quick and run through kind of where we started and where we're at, and let you kind of get a glimpse to what we do on a weekly basis and what the last 3.5 years have looked like for us. And first, I want to thank each and every one of you, and you know who you are, that has either been a part of establishing Restoration Church, continuing to be a part, helping with their construction, any of those things. The support from the pastoral staff has been amazing for us, and we appreciate every moment and every person. So if you don't know where Waterloo is, if you leave out of Mattis, out of the church, and head that way, that's what you get from me. Head right and go all the way down, and you'll go through Marshall, and there's Waterloo. We are a very tiny town. We don't even have a stoplight, but there are still souls there. And we are hoping to reach not just Waterloo, but Marshall, Deerfield, and Lake Mills. So that's a nice big area there. And God is already starting to move. On our first slide, I just kind of clumped a bunch of pictures. We started in a 60,000 square foot building. It was beautiful. That's the outside of it up there. You can see all of our boxes. I call it church in a box. And so we set up. And we had so many dreams, and our young people would walk through there, and they'd pick their office, or we'd say, this is the youth room, or this is going to be this, and lots of dreams that came out of there, and a lot of blessings as well. And there was a path, there is a path in Waterloo that every morning I would walk with my dogs, and that would be part of my prayer time, to pray over Waterloo and what God wanted for us. And the scripture that kept coming to mind is, wherever your feet go, I will give thee. And that just kept playing over my head. And I saw this building, and I'm like, how cool would it be to have church in there? And guess what had happened? A miracle happened. We were able to get it for, like, I think $350 a month to be in there. And so we would go in there. We had a lot of fun in there. We set up. We started there. November 2022 was our first Bible study. So slides 2 through 4, this kind of covers. First Bible study was just me, Grant, Madison, and Rick. That was it. Second Bible study, we had the maintenance guy for the building stop by, and we got to talk to him for almost 2 hours, I want to say. And so little bits here and there, God would just trickle people in our path, and it wasn't your traditional Bible studies, but it was something. We were able to have our first VBS for an entire week. We did it in the evening. One received the Holy Ghost during that time. And then we had our first kids' crusade, which was an 80s theme. I did not put a picture of my hair, but I did have the Aquanet hairdo and the scrunch socks. You have to go all out for these things. And we had people from, Enrique and Anika, who were our guest evangelists that day, and did amazing. And we've had the opportunity also to help our good friends launch their ministry for marriages. And so we had their first marriage retreat at Restoration Church, and that went really well. We had about, I want to say, like 45, 50 people that showed up for that, and it was phenomenal. And we were able to go live on Facebook with lots of followers. So there's been a lot that's been happening at Restoration. You can go to the next slide. Amongst the good, we've had to deal with some negative things as well. This is from our VBS. The prep, and we had a Christmas theme in the middle of winter or summer. The next slide. This is kind of the reality of doing a daughter work or a small church. You are the cleaners. You are the maintenance. You are making sure everything's ready. Our space was also used for some big parties, and there were times, and our young men will probably nod their heads and smile and say, yep, where we walked in and we had to either deal with flooding, is what you see up there. So we're in our church clothes and we're clearing water so that we can have church. And this was Pentecost Sunday, and we didn't know what we were going to do. We were a little frustrated, but God made a way. And then other times we were cleaning up vomit and beer cans and party stuff before we could even have church. And people would come and help. I'd send out an SOS text and we'd have people flood in to help us, and sometimes we didn't. So in the good, in the bad, we got more news that we actually had to leave this space because it was going to be too much money for us to be in there. So we sat down with Pastor Peter and Roy at the time, and we were trying to figure out a plan. And we prayed about it. And there was a place for rent right downtown Waterloo. And it had been open for about 6 months. It had been up for rent. And I called the guy and I said, hey, what are you willing to give this to us for? And he said, well, this is what I'm renting it for. What are you offering? And I said, well, let me call you back. Rick and I talked to the pastoral staff. We prayed about it. I called him back and I said, will you take this? And he said, yes. So we, within, I want to say, a week or two, we had the lease signed and we were moved in. And we found out that another good friend of ours who is also in the church bought our building. So we not only got to move into a new building, we are now owned by somebody from the church, which is a God thing, which is awesome. So in the next slide, you will see our building is right downtown, nothing like the other one. That is our crew that helped us with demolition, because every young person likes to tear down and punch holes in walls. But we had so much fun with this, and they were amazing to work with. And you could see that's our keys. That's why it's there, kind of like when you get your first house, there's our keys. And we worked really hard to get the space to look like what we needed it to look like. And in this process, not only have we been aiming to reach our community, but we have gotten to see some of the most amazing young people that we got to teach Sunday school to come up beside us and work with us and see them grow in their ministry, see them branch out into their own paths, and just bring amazing words of God at Restoration. You can go ahead and go through some of those slides. Here's some more of our demolition and our helpers here. This is the finished product of the sanctuary. Our granddaughter oftentimes is in one of our arms if we're preaching or on the floor sleeping, and that's our youth/Bible study room that you see there. So a lot of work has gone into this, and we hit a lull trying to spend months trying to get this ready before we started back up. And we've been challenged about what does reaching the community look like and what does church look like. And we've had to step outside of the mold of what we deemed the traditional church and think about what it said. And guess what? The New Testament had it right. I mean, it's nothing new under the sun. And it's not a new concept. And I think about Rosie, who's been coming for 2.5 years, I want to say, to Restoration. She started a P7 club, and she's had upwards to 17 children in her P7 club. 18, sorry. I knew I was going to miss that up. That's one person that has been coming and now has gone out and reached somebody else. That's discipleship. And she's touching more and more people. She'd never taught a Bible study. She never knew what P7 Club was until we talked, filled it all out, and she was ready to go. One disciple at a time. We've decided in prayer and figuring out what God wants us to do that we're actually going to take Restoration out to the streets. We're going to do worship services right across the street downtown in a pavilion. We're going to do it with VOSIS a couple times to reach some of our Spanish community. We have a lot of them there. And so we want to be able to reach everybody. We're actually going to Rosie's neighborhood and their community center, and we'll be doing Sunday school right there in the middle of her community. We have another apartment building in Waterloo. We will be doing Sunday school there. And so we are trying to reach and going beyond just what we can hold in our building, but to also go out into the community. And I just want to wrap up so that my husband can come up here, is that, again, we appreciate all of your prayers and your support. And I can't even tell you enough how much your encouraging words have meant to us. There have been times where we have just been frustrated and in tears, and we walk into church and we do it again, and it's just our family. And it's hard. It's hard those days. And then somebody from Calvary will walk in and give us a word. And it's like, God, thank you. Or even my own husband, he'll give him a message that speaks just to us. So I want to thank you for everything that you're doing and to encourage you to reach out to your daughter works and give them the support that they need.
Praise God. Looking at these pictures, I'm humbled looking at them, bringing back a lot of memories. So praise God. Praise the Lord, everybody. So good to be in the house of the Lord. A few unfamiliar faces here. I'm Rick Solberg, pastor of Restoration Church in Waterloo, and I work with one of the best teams around. So just no offense, Josh. And for the sake of time tonight, I would like to acknowledge like all those people and all that, just like Sister Nicole said, but we're going to kind of keep it short. But I do want to say two things real quick. Restoration Church, friends and family, those who invested and helped with us, thank you so much. You know who you are, like Sister Nicole said. And I would be a complete fool if I didn't stand up here and tell you that I'm blessed with my best friend, my wife, Mama Bear of our home. You know, Solomon and all of his wisdom was limited to what he could say about a virtuous woman. Amen? But I'm here to tell you today that those words that he spoke don't even begin to describe the wife that God has blessed me with. So I'm thankful for her. Thank you, honey. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. If you don't have your Bible, it's on the screen. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Amen. So the title for our message tonight is All In for God. Amen. Who's all in for God? All right. Praise God. We're all on board then. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you, God. I bind right now every hindrance and everything that would come against this service right now and what you're trying to do in this place. Lord, I pray for open doors in Jesus' name. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God, to flow in this place. I pray, God, for touched lives and hearts, oh God. I pray that you would move in a mighty way, and God, that you would do this all for your glory, for your will, and for the edification of the church. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, praise God, amen. We serve a powerful God, amen? Amen. I said we serve a powerful God, amen. I know it's Wednesday night, and I know we're tired, but God is worthy, praise God, of all our praise and glory. And he's worthy, hallelujah, to be lifted up in this place. And who knows, we even on a Wednesday night, what God may do in this place, amen? Amen. Sometimes I like to think, was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, was it on a Wednesday night? Amen. But God is good, and God is all-powerful, and I believe in one moment, God can miraculously step in and change your life in a way that you will walk away changed forever. Amen? Amen. Praise God. God doesn't work on our timing. God works on his own. Praise God. He's the God of the breakthrough. Amen. He's more powerful than death. Amen. And time again, he demonstrates that he is the greater denominator, amen? Praise God. That means that he is large and in charge. He's more powerful than any force of nature that we come up against. He's more powerful than any giant in your life. And even if all the giants were combined and they came against you, God is more powerful. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Praise God. And God is certainly more powerful than your problems, amen? Praise God. Somebody here today needs to hear this. I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's addictions. I don't care if it's a vehicle broke down in your yard and you don't know how you're going to get it to work again. But God is more powerful. He's more powerful than your backslidden prodigal who has gone away. But we're going to claim in Jesus' name that that miracle is coming. Amen. Praise God. Whatever it is, whatever the giant may be in your life, it may seem overwhelming. It may seem impossible. But with God, amen, the Bible says in Matthew 19, 26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men, this is impossible. For you, your problem is impossible." Amen. But he said, "But with God, he can do anything. All things are possible." Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 17 and 20, "Ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to that yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Amen? Praise God. Not because of our words, not because of our ability, but it's because of his power. Praise God. Amen. I wonder if somebody could preach with me tonight. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen? Amen. So we know that God is able, and we know that God can make it happen. Amen. But one thing that God asks of us, one thing that God desires from us is total trust. Amen. And this is something that Christians have been struggling with for years. Amen. Totally trusting in God. This is something that we want to hold on to. Amen. We want to maintain control in our lives, and we want to know each step of the journey, and we want to feel secure in our future. And God wants us to feel secure in him. Amen. Proverbs says in Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. But if you look at it, there's an order to these verses. First, there's trust. Second, don't lean on yourself. Third, acknowledge him, and then he'll direct your paths. But the problem is we often want the last to be the first. Amen. We want to know the outcome. We want to know the ending. We want to know the full story before we commit. We want to know what God has planned. Amen. And beyond that, we want to know what it's going to cost me. Amen. We want God to show us the path before we'll trust him. But Proverbs says, trust comes before direction. God doesn't reveal the path before he develops your trust. Amen. God doesn't usually give an explanation first, but he asks for your trust. Amen. And this is where all in means all in. Amen. I'm not talking about a poker game where we throw all our money on the table hoping to win, but I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about a life that is living for God, somebody who is dedicated and said, God, I'm all in, and I want you to take my life, and I want you to use it for your kingdom and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Jesus did not go half-heartedly or impartially to Calvary, but he was all in. Amen. Jesus wasn't partially in the tomb. And when we're baptized in his name, we're not just partially buried in his name, amen, but we're all in baptized. And the Bible tells us there's a story, the rich young ruler, he went away from Jesus sad because he was not willing to be all in, amen. He wasn't willing to let it go and to give up and to trust God. And when you came to the altar of God in your life, you weren't just trying to surrender part of your heavy loads and burdens, but you were all in, amen? Back in the day, I remember I was standing at the altar of God up at Wisconsin District Family Camp, where Bishop John Putnam, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, put forth a call from God. And my wife and I answered that call, and we both said, with tears streaming down our faces, God, we want to be used by you. And that means we'll go wherever you send us, God. And my wife and I left a long-standing position at Calvary Gospel Church, where we're very grateful for that time and that season, to follow after a call in our lives that God had given to us. And leaving Wisconsin and leaving our friends and our family, we moved to South Carolina. And it was there that we went from a big church mentality, which is all that I've ever known, to a small storefront church in Greenville, South Carolina. And it was there that we had to carve out our place in a new life. And it was there that we had to learn to connect with different people other than the ones in our own little group. Amen? And this was in the Bible Belt where everybody's saved. So it was a challenge, let me tell you. But after serving a tour of just shy of 3 years, God said, it's time to go back to Wisconsin. and feeling confused and very frustrated. We didn't understand why God would take us and put and bring us back, and we just really were feeling the frustration because we literally uprooted everything that we had, and we had the support of so many friends and family, and for what? For God to say, "Now I want you to go back to Wisconsin." And we were stunned and we were confused because we couldn't see things through God's eyes, amen? I say it didn't make sense because we couldn't see things through God's eyes. And it was at a ladies' conference that my wife was speaking to the superintendent's wife down there. And she spoke something prolific and powerful to her that helped us make some sort of similitude of sense to all of this. She said, "If you knew that all of this," talking about our trip there and back, "was just for a temporary trip, and God had told you to go, if God had revealed to you the full picture, would you have still gone? If you saw the full picture, if you knew that God was going to pull you out of your place of comfort and shake up your whole world, would you have obeyed God and gone?" And our answer would most likely have been no. Why? Because it was a lot of effort, amen? But now I stand here able to see 360 degrees into the future, and I'm able to see full spectrum of what God was doing. For it was through this that God took us out of our comfort and out of our big church mentality. And it was through this that God threw us in the trenches of a small home missions church where we could learn and glean from the local church home missionaries there. And we learned how to do computer software, church software. There's lots of programs out there that you don't know about. And we learned about how to run a sound system, things that we kind of knew about, but it was there that God was able to hone in some skills. It was there that God had taught us about some finances and principles through a church perspective. It was there that I gained pulpit time that I needed, and it was there that we learned to teach home Bible studies. And what we learned there was not something you could read about in a book, amen? But it was boots on the ground. It was 100% leaning on God and trusting Him through the process. And when we came back to Wisconsin, it was a man of God, Pastor Roy Howard Grant, who's sitting right over there, good looking guy, who helped us by investing in us to start a church in Waterloo, Wisconsin. Praise God. And I'm not saying that's where we're going to end up. I don't know. Only God knows, amen. But I am saying that I'm going to continue to be faithful to what God has given me. And I'm going to be all in. And I'm going to trust God. Amen. I say I'm going to trust because the Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I'm going to lean not unto my own understanding. And I'm going to acknowledge Him. Amen. As He directs my paths. Because there's one thing I've learned for sure. And that's it. If you're all in for God, God's always got your back, amen? Praise God. Turning to the Bible, let's look at 2 Chronicles 20 and 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle." Here we have Jehoshaphat. He was the fourth king of the southern kingdom of Judah. And the enemy all wanted to gang up on God's people. And if you look at the translation of Judah, it means praise, amen? That's what it means. These were the worshipers of Israel, God's worshipers. And if it's one thing that I know is that the enemy is always after your praise, amen? And then the Bible says, "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria and beyond Hazazon and Tamar, which is En Gedi. And the Bible said, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, and he gathered themselves together to ask of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. Now let me make one thing very clear. It's all right to seek, amen, the will of God and his direction. And just because you do doesn't mean that you don't trust God, amen. In fact, God desires that we seek him. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. But what God doesn't want is a heart that is prideful and unteachable and constantly wants to do everything on their own. Amen. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. Jehoshaphat didn't hide the problem, but he boldly stood amongst the people and he led the people in prayer. Amen. In 2 Chronicles 20:13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, with their wives and their children. And something incredible happened. Then Jehaziel and Zechariah and Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, I'm getting stumbled through these. We'll get through them together, though. A Levite, the son of Asaph, came. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Amen. Now that's some good news for Jehoshaphat. Amen. Amen. When you're going through your battle and all of a sudden God speaks and says, hey, I got you. This battle is not yours, but it's mine. All of a sudden, I believe that a great weight was lifted. But there still needed to be something else from Jehoshaphat. There needed to be trust. Amen. And Jehoshaphat wasn't just a fair-weathered leader, but he was all in. And God spoke to Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat trusted the Lord. Imagine waking up one morning before you've had your first cup of coffee, and the news arrives. There's three armies marching toward Jerusalem. Not one, not two, but three nations, three kings, three armies of trained soldiers with battle gear and weapons, and they're all zeroed in on you. And Jehoshaphat's messengers aren't bringing rumors, but they're bringing certainty. Amen. They're literally telling him that they're coming. The enemy is coming. And let me tell you here today, when your enemy comes, he is ruthless. Amen. I say when your enemy comes, he doesn't want to make deals, and he doesn't want to give you chances to get ready or get prepared. But he wants to catch you off guard. He's not just here for you, but he's after your wife. He's after your kids. He's after everything that you have. Amen. The Bible says in John 10:10, Jesus said it like this. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. And sometimes life doesn't attack just one area. Amen. But sometimes it feels like it's all coming at you at once, right? Ask Brother Job. We all know the story. Finances, marriage, health, his children, all at the same time. It feels like hell is making a coordinated attack on your life. But you got to remember one thing. The Bible says what the enemy meant for evil, amen, God meant for good. And God's got your back through all of this. It was Joseph in Genesis 50:20 that made this decree to his brethren. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. Amen? But the Bible says, but God. It wasn't his talent. It wasn't his skills, but it was God, he said, that meant it for good. Amen. And Joseph, born into destiny and determined to be all in for God, was literally stripped of his robe. He was left for dead. He was sold into slavery. He was lied upon and thrown in prison. And God said, I got you, Joseph. And literally, by the end of the story, the Bible tells us that God had placed Joseph as number two in all of Egypt. And literally, when his brothers came before him, Joseph could have taken that moment and he could have struck them down, amen? But Joseph had the maturity to say, you thought evil of me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to what? To save much people alive. Isaiah 54 and 11, this is God saying, O thou afflicted, tossed with the tempest. A tempest is a type of storm. Sometimes we get tempests in our lives, amen. We don't know what's going on. We just feel tossed around, out of control, and not conformed. You're heavily hearted in your life. It says, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Isaiah 54 and 16 says, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. Amen. But here it is. But the Bible, God said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall not be condemned, or shall be condemned, excuse me. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, the Bible says, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. Praise God. If that don't make you excited, I don't know what will. Praise God. When you're going through hell, you're going through chaos, and nothing seems to make sense. If you put God first, amen. If you say, God, I'm going to give you everything that I have. And I'm here to tell you, don't underestimate your testimony, amen. Don't underestimate obedience to God. And certainly don't underestimate a heart that is all in for God, amen. One that says, I don't understand everything, and I don't understand how it's going, but God, I know that you're in control, and I'm good with that, because God, I trust you. Amen. Praise God. What does Judah mean again? Praise. Amen. And what does the children of God do in 2 Chronicles 20 and 20? They rose early in the morning, and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went forth, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. Believe and be all in. Amen. So that ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper. And when he had consulted the people, the Bible says, he anointed singers unto the Lord. He anointed a choir that should praise the beauty of his holiness. Amen. And as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. And when they began to sing, the Lord, the Bible says, set ambushments against the children of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Amnon and Moab stood up against the children of the inhabitants of Seir. Their enemy literally turned on itself. For the children of Amnon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had, the Bible says, made an end of all the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. And get this, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth. Nobody escaped. And if that wasn't good enough, the Bible says, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils of them, they found among the abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves. Amen. More, the Bible says, than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Amen. When you're all in for God, and when it's all over, and when your trial's done, God had not only destroyed their adversary, but God blessed them with spoils that took them 3 days to gather. Amen. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. What is your multitude tonight? What is troubling you tonight? What is trying to puff out its chest and intimidate you? Amen. If our musicians could come. Praise God. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's an account in the Bible that jumped out at me when I was writing this message. It's in Luke chapter 21, in verse 1. And the Bible infers that Jesus was in the temple, and because there was an offering being given, Jesus was probably teaching others, and he suddenly stops. And the Bible says that he looked up and he saw the rich men, and they were there casting their gifts into the treasury. And it says that he also saw a poor widow casting in thither her 2 mites, all she had. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For these have of their abundance, they cast in their offering to God. But she, Jesus says, of her penury. And I had to look up that word because I've never seen it before. And it literally means extreme poverty. She gave of her extreme poverty to the point of homelessness, the definition said, and begging in the streets. And she gave of her penury and she cast it in. Amen. Somebody say all. All the living that she had. And Jesus watched. And these whom God had blessed, and they gave of a place of comfort. But this widow, she gave it all. And traditionally, when a woman during this time had a husband that died in that era, she literally probably lost her source of income. All she had was 2 little old bitty mites, the Bible said. And Jesus was able to see the heart of her offering. Amen. And she made her way up to that offering box and she said, God, I'm all in. I don't know where the rent's going to come from. I don't know where my car payment's going to come from. Maybe she didn't know how she was going to feed her kids. But all she knew is that if she trusted in God, amen, if she gave unto him everything that she had, that God would be in all in for her, amen. So I have a question for you here tonight, amen. Are you all in for God? Are you really all in for God, amen? If you could stand, please. Maybe you used to be. Somewhere along this life, you used to be all in for God and you were sold out for him. But somewhere along this life, maybe you became distracted and you lost sight of God's vision and you lost sight of trusting in him. Maybe the blessings of God have brought you to a place of comfort and you lost sight of literally putting everything into his hand. But I'm here to tell you it's not too late. God is the God of second chances, amen. And if you're willing to recommit to Him and be all in for Him, He will be all in for you, amen. Praise God. As our musicians began to sing, this altar area is open. Amen. It may be Wednesday night, but there's nothing impossible for God. Amen. I believe that if you have a need here tonight and you bring it to this altar area, in one moment, God can do a miracle and God can take care of it. In Jesus' name, praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We need you, God. We need you, God. We want to be all in for you, God, and for your kingdom. God, help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to know, God, that you're going to lead us and guide us. Walk with us and lead us, Lord, in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over this church right now, God. I pray, God, that there would be faith, Lord God, flowing through this place, God, that there would be miracles in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, there is a heart here tonight, oh, God, who is willing to lay it down, oh, God. I believe it with all my heart, oh, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.